if you send 100 people into an island in boats, how do you guarantee that after 20, 30, 40 years, the island is populated, is growing and being developed? And people sort of always pause a bit and they think it's a tricky question. It's a bit of a tricky question, but it's quite easy. You destroy the boats. So you destroy the boats and nobody can leave the island. So therefore, there's no other way than forward. And that was why it was such a difficult decision, because what I did in essence was I destroyed my boats. I decided to leave and there was no way back. And when I decided to leave, I didn't have any alternative in front of me.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I am Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hi, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Make It Your Path podcast. Today you'll get to know Rodrigo Samuel Denis, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at the world's largest esports company, ESL Gaming in Cologne. He's from Portugal originally, holds a master in science and worked for the Vodafone Group for over 18 years in many different management roles. In this interview, Rodrigo shares insights on his very fast-moving career. For example, how one of the biggest aha moments was when he experienced the biggest failure along his professional path, or how the question, "Why am I here?" turned out to be an important one for him, and how coaching helped him to find an answer. And in regards to failure, we exchange thoughts on how the way we look at it has the power to even turn it into a success. Rodrigo shares the two hardest decisions he had to make, one being to leave his home country and the other one to later leave Vodafone. And he explains how they turned out to be the best decisions he has ever made at the same time. And in case you are considering to work abroad, he also has some good advice. We talk about trust in others being his default setting and how especially new managers often get too little development support throughout their transition from their initial expert roles. Why feedback is a valuable gift, feeling doubt is a good thing, and which advice he would give to his younger self, this and much more Rodrigo talks about in this episode. And here he is. Rodrigo, it's been a while. Thank you so much for being here and saying yes to this interview.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, actually, looking back, I have to say that you were one of the few amazing managers I had. And you also became a mentor back then and had a huge impact on my professional path so far. So thanks a lot for being here with us.
Wow, I'm flattered. I was happy if I could help at some point.
You did. And I still feel it these days. So there's always a moment again when these questions pop up. So yeah, we will talk about that in a moment. But Rodrigo, the people listening have just heard as part of the intro in regards to your professional path, what you have done and where you are positioned now. But if I would ask your closest friend, who is Rodrigo Samuel Denis, what would he or she tell us?
Well, they will probably say it's somebody that is always there. And they would probably say somebody that is on the bright side of life. Always smiling and seeing the glass half full, and they will probably say I'm somebody that enjoys helping others. Probably those would be probably the three things.
Then I can at least say that nothing changed from when I got to know you. And you have heard about the topic of this podcast. And I mean, it's the podcast is called Make It Your Path. And I was just wondering, what was your biggest aha moment that brought you closer to answer questions on your end, like what it really is that you want? Because you have changed paths as well, or at least your CV looks very colorful. So maybe you can share a bit of that journey with us.
Yeah, maybe my aha moment, let's say, was actually when I had a big failure. And because my career was developing always very well and very fast where I was. And, you know, I never really had a big failure. And so I had a project once in the previous company I had, which was probably the biggest failure of my career. And after that, there was a big reorganization and lots of people left. And so that made me realize that, you know, it's okay to take risks, because in the end, everything turns out okay. And so I learned from that, you know, I was very worried about that in success and what happened. But actually, my career, you know, turned into an even more positive direction after that. And I learned a lot. And so that was probably my aha moment, where I figured it's actually okay to take big risks, because in the end, everything will be okay. And so that basically allowed me then later to be much more curious and open for change.
Wow. So that was a huge turning point, it sounds like, with still everything, yeah, perfectly working out on your journey. Maybe there's something that you can tell us in regards to how you actually figured out what it is that you want, how you would like to work and live.
Well, I was at Vodafone during many, many years, so 18 years. And there we actually have access to a huge amount of resources and support. And I was part of a leadership program. And that was very interesting, because besides, you know, preparing us for a number of leadership tasks and for the future, there was one module that was very interesting for a few days. It's all about ourselves. And so trying to understand who we are. And actually starting with a why, you know, why are you here? And that is, that was something that was really interesting for me to learn and have the opportunity to focus and get a lot of feedback and work with other colleagues and peers to really understand why I'm here. And so, you know, and my answer was, actually, I'm here to help. Funny enough, I'm here to help. That was my really deep why I'm here in life. And so that then led me to really think about what does that mean in a business context, not just on private life. Mm-hmm. And I found out that actually one of the things that really works well and where I have a huge joy and I really am super passionate about is about helping people and helping people to develop. And throughout my career, I did exactly that. Part of it I didn't know I liked it. I just did it. It was my intuition. But the last, let's say, 10 years, I've been doing it in a conscious way. And now I'm, you know, I really enjoy it so much. And I think really that's my path, that I'm, you know, I am fortunate enough at my current role that I'm even able to not only develop people, but actually develop an organization that takes care of people and takes care of leaders. And that's so that's how I got into knowing what I really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And congrats to actually sticking to that. And I remember that what you've just described, I think, made you an amazing manager, really focusing on people and helping them to develop and putting all the trust in them. What would you say, in order to really get to where you are today, what or who helped you to actually follow that path that brought you to where you are today?
I think everybody, to be honest. So that is from, you know, everybody helped a bit, you know, from mentors that really opened, you know, showed me the example and asked some difficult questions. To managers that pushed me to the limits, to colleagues that challenged me, to, you know, people in my team that, you know, inspired me in a lot of times with their knowledge, with their energy, with their attitude. And so I think everybody along the way helped me develop. And I think that's a common thing. I don't like to think about there is one single thing that works, but there's many, many things and many, many people helped during a long period of time. And again, I was very fortunate to have access to professional help in terms of coaches, and that really helps to put things into perspective and to put plans in place so you really think about yourself. Many times people in business life forget about taking time for themselves. to develop and think about themselves. And I think that's something I think I did. But, you know, to answer your question directly, I think everybody helped a little bit. Today, every day helps me on every single situation. I always get feedback, and feedback is fantastic.
Do you ask for feedback? Is that something that you request from people around you?
Yes, I think I ask, and I think we should all demand for feedback. Mm. Feedback is like a gift. So whatever it is, it's very important to just think about it and put it in perspective and take whatever positive is out of it. So I ask for feedback regularly from my team, from my colleagues, from partners, from friends, family. I think that's important.
Yeah, and you were just mentioning people that supported you, and maybe I actually go back to one example that I can share in regards to how you helped me, because I remember when I joined your team, it was a newly formed team, the consumer services team, and it was in 2011. Oh my God, time flies.
Crazy.
Yeah, and there you always put a lot of trust in me, giving me super crazy opportunities and telling me that I can do it. And you also just said this, risks. Like taking risks is an important thing. And I also always felt that you empowered me to allow myself to take these risks. I mean, be it in regards to managing the market engagement with more than 16 countries, or also working on the global program, right? Where I, thanks to you, managed key activities around that for the Vodafone Group. And you helped me grow with all this. And it always felt okay showing myself as vulnerable as well when taking on new and challenging responsibilities. So, and actually, out of all this, there was another key moment which you created when we had a chat. And I don't know if you remember, but you were not my manager at that time, but I could call you my mentor. And we had a chat about my next step, because I was not sure what it is that I wanted to do, but I knew that I was not happy with what I was doing right at that time anymore. And you told me to ask myself what it is that I want, what my role should be in this world, and what I would like to contribute to. I remember that very clearly, how we were sitting in this little room in the Vodafone Group building. Mm-hmm. And actually, that made me realize that what I really wanted was to work for and with others, with people. I wanted to make a difference in other people's lives. And yeah, actually, then I quit my highly paid and secure job at that time. And after traveling for a year, I joined an educational foundation and changed from the business world to the NGO world. And that was not an easy decision. And I remember that not a lot of people could understand this move. What was your hardest decision throughout your professional journey, Rodrigo?
Well, before I answer that, just I recall that conversation well. And I just wanted to touch one thing that you mentioned around trust. I think trust is super important for two reasons. First of all, it empowers people and gets them the feeling that, you know, everything is possible. And but on the other side, if you think about it, it's the only way. Mm. If you do not trust, what can you do? So when people ask me a lot of times, you know, how do you come to trust people? I always say, well, for me, it's the default scenario, because there's no option for not trusting. What's the alternative for not trusting? If somebody can explain me how it works better starting from something else than not trust. And so that's very important. So trust is not something I think that we should, you know, just tactically use, but actually should be the default standard on so many things in life. We should trust everybody. And that just empowers people.
That's so true. And still, there are so many managers that are not doing it that way, right? I mean, I remember having been micromanaged and controlled and so on. And so I still believe it's kind of special for managers to look at that way. And I'm very thankful that I met you on my journey.
Yeah, because what happens is a lot of people make a difficult transition from being a single contributor to being a people leader. And so as when people are a single contributor in an organization, they need to almost like micromanage themselves, right? So it's about controlling all their tasks. And when they move to manage and lead people, you know, they start at the baseline, which is they are a leader because they have a position, they are a manager, but they don't really know how to do it. And they just start applying what was successful for them in the past as an individual contributor into the new role. And so what I think organizations do little is to actually train and develop and help managers cope with that transition. And then what happens is that, you know, trust is not a thing that is given. And then, you know, it's really up to the individuals to make that reflection. So therefore, I think, you know, today I'm always amazed how companies invest so little in developing managers. And they just assume that a specialist that is a great person doing a specific role can get promoted and suddenly he knows everything regarding management. And then you had asked as well, you had asked about, if you want to get in touch about my most difficult decision, you know, and that is probably leaving Vodafone was my most difficult decision by far. Because as you know, I was 18 years there.
Yeah, crazy. And you were part of the special program where the high potentials for management, top management roles were developed and was invested in.
Yeah, it was difficult because it's a life, right? So I started in 99 in Portugal. You know, telco was a very small thing. My career moves very quickly. Then I went to the global offices to build Vodafone Group Services. And then I have a number of leadership roles in different positions. And so the career was laid out in front of me, and so there was a plan to continue. But I made a decision based on the fact that, you know, I thought I either do the next steps, which is take a few C-level roles over the next years and rotate in different countries, and then, you know, probably be around the 50 or mid-50s and then probably not have the energy anymore to change. Or I would change in my early 40s and say, okay, it was a great journey. I leave when I'm still super happy here and I try something different now. And that's what I did. I usually say, you know, I ask people when I speak about leadership and about decision making and change, I always ask this little question about, you know, if people know, if you send 100 people into an island in boats, how do you guarantee that after 20, 30, 40 years, the island is populated, is growing and being developed? And people sort of always pause a bit and they think it's a tricky question. It's a bit of a tricky question, but it's quite easy. You destroy the boats. You destroy the boats and nobody can leave the island. So therefore, there's no other way than forward. And that was why it was such a difficult decision, because what I did in essence was I destroyed my boats. I decided to leave, and there was no way back. And when I decided to leave, I didn't have any alternative in front of me. I literally wanted to close that chapter and then look for something different. And you know, I was fortunate enough that a number of options came up, and then I have a sort of a dream job now. But you know, that was a very, very difficult decision.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And as I've said, I would have guessed that this might be the answer to that question. What, just to stick with that question, and then I actually have to jump back for another little question. Could you say, or having made this decision, could you say if there was a key learning in regards to your further life?
With the decision of leaving?
Of destroying the boats and...
Yes. Again, I think it was just a confirmation of what I mentioned before in the beginning, that, you know, it is okay to be afraid, because it is okay to be a bit scared and not know what's happening, a bit nervous before these decisions, because it just means that you are thinking about it. Your brain is, you know, weighing all the risks. So that's great. It means you are aware. But it's also... The learning was, again, just another confirmation that it pays off to take risks and to go ahead and change. And if you feel internally inside of you, this is probably the right direction, you know, you should do it. And then there's also a very positive thing and a learning, which is, you know, change forces you to rethink things, to learn new things, to adapt. Mm. That keeps you alive, doesn't it? So I think it was a scary thing to do, but once I took the decision, I was really enjoying the time after in terms of looking for new challenges, dreaming about new opportunities. When I decided that I would take this role that I have now, I was already so excited And I was thinking already, what am I going to do in this company for the next 10 years? So just, you know, it just helps you develop and I think keeps you alive.
I completely agree. It helps you grow and there's progress coming with it if you allow it to be part of such a process and to actually take a decision and then step or move forward. In regards to your success story, still talking about decision-making processes, what would you say is the percentage of key decisions that were taken following your gut feel?
Well, percentage is a difficult number to say, but I think, I like to have things structured and organized, fact-based. But what I think is important as well, and how I take decisions as well, is to have a clear vision. So what I always do, and it's super important for me, and I think it's very important for any person in any level of their career, is to have a clear vision where they want to go, where they want the organization to go, where they want their product to go, their company, and so on. And by having that clear vision, it just helps later in decisions, because no matter how many facts you gather, you can gather facts until infinity, right? So you can gather as many facts as possible. Yeah. Where's the line? And so what you will find in business life is that there's never enough facts for the decision. Mm-hmm. Hardly ever you have 100% of the facts.
Yeah, and if you believe you do have it, it's not true, right?
It's not true, exactly, because you're cheating yourself. So there is always then a sense of gut feeling, if you like, of the decision. And I think the gut feeling comes more from being very clear on the vision where I want to go. And sometimes the decisions are not obvious. Sometimes the facts say, do not corroborate that 100%. But you still decide in that direction because you are looking at the long term, and have a vision. And I think that's for me. You can translate into gut feeling a bit, but it's the gut feeling comes from having that very clear vision of and perspective of where you want something to go in the future. Mm-hmm. That helps a lot.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about listening to you that it's kind of being aware and connected to your inner compass, knowing the direction that you want to go and also knowing yourself, as you have said, right? So this is something that I support people with as well in the coaching processes, also new managers, and you've also mentioned that, how important it is to actually get to know yourself and also to understand who you want to be as a manager, how you want to fulfill this role, who you are and who you are going to be in that role. And this is a very exciting process. And I think this also enables you to have more clarity, as you have said, about the vision and having your inner compass that is leading you, and through that also being able to take decisions or to make decisions in a more easy way.
Absolutely. So you need to know yourself. You need to be very comfortable with that. And I would add to that as well. So I 100% agree, Gina. And then I would add to that as well, like Jim Rohn said, you need to plan ahead, right? So when do you start your day? You start your day when you finish it. When you start your week, you start your week when you finished it. And when you start your year, you start when you finished it. So in a sense, you basically start something after you have planned it. And because you planned it and you know where you're going, it's almost like you started when you already finished it. Because it's planned. And so that helps a lot as well, knowing yourself, but then planning really ahead and knowing where you are going, because otherwise, you just things become very, very complex and take time.
Yeah. And still, I mean, I agree to what you say, but still there's another nice saying that life happens while you're making plans. And this also not always works out, right? So you also have to be able to adjust, to refocus, or to at least adjust the direction maybe a little bit, or to always be aware and not too narrowing down the view too much and still realize what is happening left and right of you in order to maybe adapt a plan that was made, because there's change everywhere, and you have also said that.
Absolutely. We should not kill ourselves with planning. I mean, a certain level of planning is good. Too much is also insane. So it's about finding the right balance. I totally agree.
Yeah, true. And with what you've shared, and also with these big decisions that you were taken, and that was not the only one. I mean, you've left your home country. You moved to Germany from Portugal, and I think you lived even in other places already. So I'm just wondering if you ever had a period in your life where you had a feeling of doubt or also feeling insecure about whatever step you just took being the right one?
Absolutely. I think before any big decision, I felt a bit insecure and doubtful. But I think that's a good thing, because it just means you are processing the information, you are thinking about positives and negatives and what's happening. Definitely when I left my home country to come to Germany for international career, that was probably one of the most difficult decisions in my life, mm-hmm. just because everything was new. It turned out to be one of the best ones, and probably changed from a personal point of view, probably it was the biggest change in my life. But I think before any big decision, it's normal to go through that process. And I think what is important is to know that. And so with experience, with time, after some years of having done some of those, you know what's coming, right? So you know the period before the decision will be an interesting one or a difficult one. And I think that's part of, I think, the solution for coping with it, which is understanding really and embracing it and saying, okay, this is normal. I need to go through this. It's actually good that I go through this. I should not worry too much. I should not make too many plans, as you said. I should not exhaust too many things, but I should really take it seriously and think about it. And with that comes a bit of insecurity and a bit of doubt. But then what helps a lot is actually to discuss with people. What I do personally is I play back to people all the time. So I speak to friends, to mentors, to colleagues, to different people, the same story in different angles. And I get feedback all the time, you know, and by playing it verbally even, it helps me. I think each person is different, but it helps me adjust my story and where I want to go. So mm-hmm. I almost discover my decision through a lot of discussion and conversation with different people. And sometimes I get breakthrough perspectives. Somebody says, have you thought about this? And it's completely different than I have thought about. Some of the cases, I just get positive affirmation. So somebody says, yeah, you should do that. I think it makes total sense. So I think both are very important. And so I never make the decisions, if you'd like, alone. And I always make them alone. So I always make them alone because at the end, it's me deciding and I'm responsible for it. And I will never blame anybody. It's my decision, right or wrong. But what I do before is that I use a lot of energy from other people and a lot of insights and use them as sounding boards to really perfect my decision-making process.
Yeah, super cool. And I agree. And that's actually what I've done in the past as well. And I think there's so much value in this. And even if it's just some inspirational thoughts, as you've said, new thoughts, new ways, like new ways of looking at it, changing a perspective, or also getting some key learnings out of an experience that someone else has already made. So it's super, super valuable. And that's also one of the reasons why I set up this podcast, because it helped me in the past. And I was thinking of how could I add value to other people's lives as well. So yeah, through you sharing your story and your experiences, you're actually adding up to that as well, Rodrigo. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
And we were just talking about you having left Portugal. And could you say what the biggest challenge for you was that you were facing when starting all over in a new country as an expat back then?
Well, the biggest challenge was probably being far away from family and having to build essentially a new network of friendships and relationships. That was probably the thing that I was missing the most, but also it was the most exciting thing to do as well, to discover and meet new people and develop that. So probably that was the biggest challenge. Then the second one is always close, was actually the work environment was very different, and it was more an opportunity rather than a challenge, but it was very interesting and different, because in Portugal I was, you know, sort of, you work in a company with a local perspective and you think that's really important. And then when you go to an international company, well, it was the same company, but in an international office where you look after many countries and your responsibilities across many countries, you speak every day with people from all over the world, you kind of realize you were in a very, very small place before. and that's a bit scary sometimes, but it's also great. It's almost like, you know, you go down the rabbit hole and you see, you know, like Alice in Wonderland, and you see how great and amazing the world is and different. And that was, you know, I would not say a big challenge. It was more an opportunity, but it was definitely one of the things that was more different than, you know, coming out of Portugal and coming to Germany.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's always good to give it a twist and look at it in a positive way and to see opportunities in there. But still, and I have experienced that myself, although I never ended up somewhere that long as you did, but that it is challenging. And I remember that in Japan back then, I spent there almost a year when I was 19, so long time ago. But that was really tough. And I'm just wondering if there's any good advice or any advice that you could give someone who's listening, who is maybe also just considering leaving the country, starting all over new in another country, changing companies or whatever. What would you recommend someone who is, right now asking him or herself the question of whether it is the right move to leave the home country?
I would say, you know, follow your inner instinct. If your inner instinct says, you know, let's go for it, and the rest, you probably, in most cases, is just your brain trying to find all the excuses why you should not do it to keep the status quo as you are today. And so probably is your brain trying to be overcautious and trying to rationalize everything. And find a reason for you to stay where you are. You know, humans, you know, change is always a small pain to the system when you do change. It sometimes, most of the times, is for the better. But in that moment, probably your brain will try to avoid at all costs. So I would say, listen to your, if you like, to your instinct, listen to your, you know, passion or whatever was the initial reason for taking that opportunity or changing country. And just go for it, especially if you are young, early in your career. If you are, you know, I would even say there is no reason why not to do it, right? That's the time to experience and to try different things. And I would definitely recommend, also because there's no problem in failure. So if it doesn't work out, you change again. You have time. When you are 70, you probably need to think about your decisions. But when you are 25, 30, 35, you probably can, you know, you can make a lot of changes. You can be super successful, but you can also fail and then restart again and change again. And that's what people a lot of times forget. They always think, you know, I take this decision, it's done, my life is done. and it's not. It's just one decision, and then you can always change and recover if there was anything wrong with it. But most of the times when people feel they want to go for something and they go, most of the times they have the feeling that, you know, it is actually positive already.
Yeah, and what you say, actually, yeah, I'm just thinking of so many people sitting there also when I am in a coaching process with them. And what you've just said is so important, to see that there lies so much resources and experiences even in a failure. So it's a learning process. And if you look at it that way, you will always know that you can only win by taking these.
Absolutely. Decisions. I mean, failure, when you think about failure, I mean, failure is, it actually can always be a success. So a failure can be a success. If you learn a lot of new things from it, it was actually a success. So you can't lose, as you said.
Yeah, it's about the way you look at it. And we control that, right? Every one of us is able to control the meaning we give to things and to experiences and to the past. So we have a bit of control to look at that. And for you, it worked out, as you've just said, you were following your passion, and that brought you to where you are today. And I'm just wondering, how did you define success before rising to this top executive position that you're in now? And if it changed over time?
It changed, actually. I thought initially success, I thought more the classical way. You know, success is about achieving a goal, whatever that is. You know, it could be in business, could be in private life, could be, you know, decided to do sports every second day. Anything that you set as a goal, when you achieve, is success. That's what I thought initially, and still it's true today, right? So success, you get a feeling of success when you achieve an objective that you have. But what I learned as well and changed, and I think it's also equally true, is that, you know, there is a failure can be a success as well, as we were discussing. And that's a lot of times not so obvious, but if you learn from a mistake that you did, So if you set a goal and you do not achieve it, and for some reason there's a lesson to be learned there, I think that's success, because you just learned something that will equip you to be a better person, a better leader, a better professional in the future. And that's a success as well.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? But it's that applied to this logic. And that's something I learned throughout my career. It was not something that initially I thought too much about. I always thought about success. I need to get, you know, advance in my career, you know, do this and that in my private life and so on. And I found out that actually the best things I learned and that developed me were actually my failures. And so I think it's very important for people to think about in that perspective. I mean, it's not a perspective just to make it look nice. It's actually, it works. And it really helps you develop if you learn from a failure.
Yeah, of course, it can only be there's only a learning in it and a development opportunity if you look at it that way and if you reflect on it and see what you can take from it and what actually is helping you for any other decision or...
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can add one thing, if I look just at the part of success in terms of the classical way, it also changed a bit the way I perceive things. So I always thought, beginning of my career, you know, I achieve goals, I do this. It's always personal, right? So the success, I always thought, is something I achieve personally. And right now, I actually, success for me is when I see other people achieve objectives. And sometimes success for me is when I see people developing themselves. You know, I have cases in my company of leaders that were, you know, not experienced. They were given a big role, and I helped them develop over the last years. And now I see them thriving and being stars in the company. And that by itself, that's a huge success. So I have a lot of some of the satisfaction linked to success. Success a lot of times for me now is to see other people succeed. And I think that's something, you know, you don't have the opportunity to do early in your career. And I really think that's, for me, if you ask me the best success I like, I think it's that when I see other people coming forward and developing themselves. I have a great sense of achievement on that.
Yeah, it's very nice listening to you, the way you describe all this. And thanks so much for sharing this.
You're welcome.
Did you ever have to choose between personal and professional success when you have just... yeah, helped us to understand your definition of it? Was there ever a moment where you had to decide between one of them?
No, just because of the, and I think it's sometimes, I'm not saying this in an arrogant way, because I know that some people, in some cases, you really need to make a choice, right? There are extreme cases where you need to say, you know, do I continue my career and move away from, let's say, family for 1 year, or I stay here and have a, you know, I jeopardize my career and I take a decision for my family. I know that there are these cases and I don't want to disrespect that, but personally for me, I always found a way to combine both and to be able to have, let's say, the best of both worlds. What I tried, and I really never had to choose one or the other. But I think that's because I always tried not to get in that position. So I anticipated the situation and I always tried to avoid getting into that position. If I would have to prioritize, I would probably prioritize, you know, family over professional life. But a message I wanted to leave here is that it's, in most cases, if you do it well, you can have it all. Because you can actually, it's almost like degrees of a sacrifice. You don't need to sacrifice 100% one thing and 100% the other. You can find the right balance that works. And under the right communication with the people around you, you find the model that works for everybody. And so that's what I think I did. And yes, but I don't want to ignore the cases of people that, you know, really need to make a very hard choice between the two worlds.
Yeah, and of course there are differences in the actual situations people see themselves in. Everyone needs to do a deep dive on that for themselves. But I think there was a lot of value in having your story shared with us. And looking back now at so many experiences and everything that you've done, what advice would you give your younger self and why?
I would probably, if I would talk to myself when I was in the, after university and the first years of my career, I would probably say, it's all right. I would probably just say, do not worry, relax. Everything's going to be fine. Because I think, you know, a lot of times, and I see today in young generations as well, especially young millennials and Gen Z, it's all about this immediacy, about this reward system, about, you know, you post something, you get a like, you do something and you want recognition. And it was not like that when I was starting my career. Social media didn't even exist. But I also felt at that time that pressure, you know, I need to do something. I need to, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself. And I think, you know, young professionals do that a lot more now, and exacerbated by digital and social media. So what I would give as advice to myself, but to everybody today, just relax and don't take things too seriously. Things will be okay. Yes, be professional. Yes, think about your future. You know, take things with some degree of seriousness, but at the same time, put things into perspective. Live life and don't stress too much, because in the end of the day, if you... You know, things will equalize after a period of time. You will have your opportunities in your career. It might not be in year one, year two, might be on year three. So if you are patient, if you do a great job at whatever you are doing right now, even if it's not the most amazing job you do and the most fulfilling, the best ticket for success in life is to be patient, do a great job at what you are doing currently, and then opportunities will come inside of a company, outside of the company, in your private life. The good things come for the ones that are well prepared and have a positive attitude. And if you sort of are not patient, if you don't take things into perspective, you start of getting into this negative cycle. So I'm not happy where I am, and therefore that impacts my attitude. And because I have a bad attitude, you know, people see me as a complex person, and then less opportunities come, and it just goes down the drain. So I would give that advice to myself. It worked out well for me, but still I could have known this before.
Yeah, and there was the word trust again, right? So it's, of course, in regards to being a manager, giving trust to others, but also trusting yourself in such processes and enjoying the journey of getting to know yourself better and better, and trust that everything will work out. I would almost call this the last beautiful ending question of this podcast, but I have one last question. Looking back, Rodrigo, what surprised you the most, looking back at your journey that brought you here now?
I think when I look back, I say, wow, how did I do it? How did I get here? And if I start counting the years and say, okay, there's a lot of years that passed, how did I get here? And if I look at the detail, I, of course, know the reasons why. And, you know, there's always things happen and decisions were taken and things evolve in one direction. So when I looked at the micro, I, of course, there's everything is explained. But when I look at the macro, I think, wow. So I think, you know, I think sometimes I feel very fortunate. And so when I look backwards, I really almost feel I don't deserve this, and I was lucky. That's the feeling I have. I was lucky somehow. And yes, I was lucky during life. Other times I make good decisions. There was a combination of both. But that's what surprised me a lot, is when I look back and say, is this my life? How did I get here? And at the first glimpse, and as I said, you know, if you look at the details, you everything is explained. I know the why. But the first reaction is always I'm amazed with all of it. So, which then keeps me, you know, going back to the beginning of our conversation, how friends would look at me, I always see the glass half full and the positiveness, because I truly am amazed when I look back, is how I was so fortunate to be where I am now. And I'm just grateful. So that's it.
Yeah, amazing. And I think you've just called it the macro view. I think it's good for everyone to do that once in a while, to take this outside perspective and yeah, celebrate successes and be aware of all these amazing things every one of us has already successfully achieved, but we sometimes forget to look at that maybe, and maybe there's the potential to do that more often. Rodrigo, thank you so much for so openly taking us on this journey throughout your professional life. And it was a pleasure, and I can't wait to continue this chat offline, hopefully one day soon. And yeah, I think for now I can only say thank you for spending your time with us. It was amazing.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It was a very good conversation. We should do this again.
We will. Speak to you soon, Rodrigo. Thank you.
Thank you. Speak to you soon. Thank you.
Are you facing an important decision? Your thoughts are going around in circles and the pressure is increasing? Or you want to develop more confidence and your individual style in a new role? Let's find out how I could support you as a career and business coach and get in touch for a free initial consultation. Send me an email to coaching@gina-friedrich.com. Thank you for listening and have a happy day ahead.